The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Hey, this is Neil Harbison from the Cyborg Foundation, and I'm listening to the Nerdy Show, and I'm also listening to The Colors in Front of Me.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
Hi, I'm Tony.
Hi, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And this is an episode devoted to the Lightning Dogs.
So much howling, oh my goodness.
Rolling with the pack.
What are the Lightning Dogs, you ask? Well, this is actually part two of a two-part discussion we've had, of a series of discussions we've had, about the ultimate 80s and 90s cartoon and action figure line of all time.
That hasn't existed yet, but should have existed, that we're making for you now.
Yeah, that we accidentally created, and it turned into a whole thing, and if you go to lightningdogs.com, it'll kind of explain. But if you go back and listen to the episode prior to this, it'll really super duper explain. So if this is your first time on Nerdy Show, I apologize. I like for everybody to be able to jump in at any point in time. Certainly you can listen to the stuff we're about to say, and it will sound very cool. But this is sort of a two-parter, more or less. So
we had to take a break. I needed some water from a pail.
Yeah.
We all had some kibble. We're refreshed.
Yeah. I had a special treat.
Had some cheese.
So to recap real quick, four of the original five Lightning Dogs creators are here. Myself, Hex, Tony, and Doug. Brian is not, but we'll be sending him notes on this episode. And Mike Wall from Ghostbusters Resurrection is our sounding board. He is a total noob to Lightning Dogs, knows fuck all about it, and he's here, and how do you feel so far?
I definitely like what I've heard so far. It seems, like we keep saying, better than Thundercats.
Good.
Cool.
Let's just hope it stays that way.
And completely different as far as copyright law is concerned.
Absolutely. No.
100% unique.
This is not derivative in any way.
No.
And if it is at all, it is within the copyright law.
It is within fair use. We are covered. Fuck you, YouTube.
If you're trying way too hard, if you are reaching at similarities. Yeah.
There are, it started as a joke based on it. There are none at this point.
And there are seriously other properties in Nerdy Show that you could attack quicker than this.
Don't invite me.
I'm still waiting for the day where it can be called Dungeons and Redacted.
Right. Crusaders and Corn Chips. All right. So let's dive back into this discussion. Let's flesh out the world of Lightning Dogs a little further. Glampire.
Yes, okay.
The villains are underdeveloped.
We only just barely topped off the main cast, you know. Yeah,
so let's go over this again. We got Dingo has the Bark Beyond Bark.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We got Sonic. You got change. Just say he's got Super Bark. Whatever.
He's got Super Bark.
Yeah. Ultra Bark.
Ultra Bark. Narissa has the Awesome Vision.
Spectral Vision.
How's that going to be an action figure?
The same way that you
her eyes light up white. I don't know.
12-inch figure. You look through the back of her head.
The little wheel.
There's an LED.
It's
I don't know. Are we dealing with present technology or 80s technology?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
Kane Corso.
Some of these new toys coming out are pretty badass.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway, so
Kane Corso has the hearing and then eventually the arm. Kid is basically a battery.
Yep.
Beast Hound has a laser vision.
Because fucking cool.
Yeah.
Angela
is strong.
Strong, and Pierre has the speed.
That's Lightning Dogs, yeah.
That's, to all me, right. the two key, like, if we didn't have a strength and a speed, then I'm like,
right,
we're missing out on something, because strength is also another pillar of superpowers.
Yeah.
I am so very happy right now.
So Glampire.
Yes.
Now.
Oh, he's in the room.
Should we just interview you in character? Like,
should we have, okay, so how many
once
types?
Once upon a time.
How many types? Like, I know he has the Diamond Dogs from Minions.
Mm-hmm.
I know also the
Halloween Jack.
Halloween Jack is his, no, he Halloween Jack is his right hand.
I don't even remember Halloween Jack.
Here's the thing about Halloween Jack. Halloween Jack is just, it's a Bowie joke, right? Like, Halloween Jack is a real cool cat. He lives on top of Manhattan Chase.
Which is where, as it turns out, Halloween Jack lives.
If we want to set this in New York, which personally I don't want to.
I don't want to, but whatever, it doesn't matter.
Just even fucking Oblivion was set in New York, and that was like...
Well, we can call it Manhattan Chase. It doesn't matter.
We're naming Halloween Jack after that line. We don't need to attribute his entire origin story to David Bowie. That may be plagiarism. I'm not sure.
Put on that man's hat and chase him.
So the thing about Halloween Jack is he's Halloween Jack represents the first level minion that any big
right.
Bad
I was going to say
out.
Like we needed like more of those because not to reflect to our origins, but there were the level of the
right. So now here's the thing I was thinking about Halloween Jack and the minions or whatever, because every time we talked about them they were very humanoid, almost like the ghouls from Fallout.
Basically. I don't remember the guy's name. In Power Rangers, there's that blue dog-faced guy in the gold suit.
Goldar. Yeah.
What's his name?
Goldar.
Goldar. Okay, Goldar. And Goldar controls the putties, okay. Right?
Or Grufrazor, if you want to get really technical.
Okay. So Goldar controls the putties. That's where Halloween Jack is. He's working for Rita Repulsa. He sends out the putties.
Perfect.
Right. He leads a biker gang of basically Mad Max things.
Zombies.
Thugs.
Can they all be Halloween themed?
That would be fucking amazing. But here's the problem. Halloween Jack, in the way we've kind of, those of us who've bothered to like really think about him, he just ends up being a ghoul from Fallout, as do the other people. Right. Because in theory, this world is actually populated by freaks and mutants, and those humanoid ones just tend to be like ghouls.
See, I envision more, are you guys familiar with Darkstalkers at all?
Yes.
Yep.
I imagine more of a Lord Raptor.
Ooh.
Sure, but like, Raptor's awesome, but I just mean like, we're still dealing with the zombification of humans.
That
like,
it should be gone for thousands of years.
Like that's why I'm saying more like skeletal or more...
Right, but if...
I think Cass getting into something that we were talking about.
The problem is, if these are preserved, mutated, altered humans, the ghouls in Fallout...
Are alive
and can, to some degree, remember what it was like to be human because they're very old. And that's sort of the position we put ourselves in. If these things used to be human, then that presents a problem for us because part of the Lightning Dog's emotional connection to the Masters is the fact that they don't exist.
And there's nothing, the only thing they can reach that's human are
architecture, media, you know, cars
things they
and
find.
Shit. Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Well, that's important to make sure that they are always kind of wanting to experience their de facto gods or their origins and so on. Like that's a want for them.
I have an answer for that, but I don't know if I already talked about this with you.
I don't think you have.
What if
Vampire
comes to Earth way back when, does his thing, Earth is over. Whatever force he invaded with are probably of alien origin as well.
Oh.
What if this alien invasion force is kind of Skrull-ish, where they just say, hey, this world we just destroyed, we're going to live like people now because, man, that was kind of cool.
Going off of the Skrull idea to ready the invasion.
They came first or whatever?
And they were able to blend in.
Well, here's the thing. I don't remember if this got said in the last episode or not, but this is actually contrary to the origins of Glampire that I thought we had established.
Right, that's what I mean. We still need to get to that. I don't want to trample on all
okay,
that
so
stuff.
What was the origin of Glampire?
Glampire was exiled to Earth as a prisoner. In Glampire's mind, Glampire is a hero, a political... He's Che Guevara of his planet.
Right.
And he was chucked to Earth like, oh, fuck you, go to this backwater planet. And maybe he was even a good guy. Maybe his rebellion was the right thing to do for his planet. Doesn't matter. His species lives for a really long time. He failed in his attempt to overthrow that society. He got thrown to Earth a long time ago, maybe 20th century, maybe a little earlier, and has been existing there throughout. And what he's been looking for is he's been watching and waiting, growing in power and doing all this stuff, like just, you know, being a celebrity, getting his kicks, doing whatever he needed to do to bide his time, because humanity's technology was hundreds of years away from what he needed to return to the stars and try to save his people.
But when you can live forever, you know, just waiting.
What's a couple centuries?
Yeah.
But the problem is that as soon as humanity had really achieved that level of technology, they destroyed themselves in a nuclear war.
Right.
So Glampire becomes
you
a master of nothing.
Morons. Now, I really like that origin. I had a different one in mind.
Okay.
I don't know if it's better. It's just, it was more the idea of him. He came from outside, whether he was banished here or not. But if he came and with him, he brought the putties, if you will, or whatever, the ghouls, whatever you want to call them, that become the Halloween Jack and the gang.
The zero-level minions.
Yeah, like zero-level minions. That maybe they have a little bit of shape-shifting sort of thing. Like, maybe they're permanently green, but they can just sort of take human form. But, like, in the countless of other planets that he's conquered or whatever. This is very much changing Glampar, so please feel free to dismiss it. But
I do have some... I have been completely, by happenstance, sketching these sort of punk rock pumpkin head guys. What if one of the reasons Earth is so pissed is Glampire has perverted aspects of this mutated vegetation? And that mutated vegetation is where Halloween Jack ties in. And Halloween Jack, perhaps, is one of these punk rock pumpkin-headed bastards.
Before you get into that, because maybe, before you get into that, the idea was Glampire is trying to gather up like the crystal stuff. Because the crystals are obviously, the crystals are infused with whatever technology, and this is going way back. We're going to have to discuss this. This will be a whole other episode talking purely about backstory. But I thought, what if humans, in our future, but in the distant past of this story, they're able to artificially grow these new kind of crystals for energy. It solves the energy crisis. We come into a new era of energy
of
is great.
Peace and prosperity.
Everything is great. We explore the stars and
explode the world.
And we invent the far-fetched and we go to different planets. And hey, you know what? Through the distant telescopes that we can see and the ways that we can measure things, much like how Narissa can see different types of energy.
Ha 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 ha.
You can see on a distant planet that maybe is uninhabited. Hey, crystals that we're making artificially, naturally grow there. So let's get there and get more powerful crystals and be able to do whatever. And then, so we build a Farfetch and we go there and people build a colony there to farm the crystals and they bring their dogs.
That's great. Yes.
And the crystals have energy powers that enables them. So once humans abandon that planet, the crystals will help the dogs can age and evolve much faster so that, because I remember thinking, I don't know if I pointed this out to you, Cap, before, but like the idea that, oh, we want it to be like, you know, thousands of years of evolution for dogs to go from being regular dogs to being like walking on two legs and talking. How does that happen that quickly if we still want to have like burnt out buildings and cars and stuff driving around? I'm like, well, what if it really is only a few hundred years, maybe 1,000 years, but for 1 year for a dog, it's 7 years for a dog. So 1,000 years for Earth is 7,000 years for a dog.
God damn it, Doug.
And of course, who knows about the rotations of the planet?
Yeah, and who knows about the planet rotation? Yeah, all this can... Anyway, so the dogs grow up on that planet, just the crystals are a part of life. That's they don't need fossil fuels. They don't need whatever. Mm-hmm. They just, hey, just throw a crystal in it and it's going to work. So they get to Earth.
Got a problem? Throw a crystal at it.
Yeah, now that's oversimplifying it, but you see what I'm getting at. They get to Earth, and the crystals are growing here, blah, 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 blah. That the crystals are a sort of thing that ties everything all together as an energy source, also for weapons, for vehicles, whatever. Anyway, tying this all back to Glampire, if Glampire gets to Earth, whether he decides to invade Earth with his minions because he wants to conquer the planet, because he sensed that there were crystals here, but they were artificial crystals, they weren't really that good, humanity gets destroyed fighting Glampire, or they blow themselves up, we'll decide that later. Either way, Glampire, in order to try and get back to the stars, he needs to grow these crystals. The downside is that for the crystals to be naturally grown and for them to be really powerful takes a freaking long ass time for them to grow, even for Glampire. Mm-hmm. You can make an artificial crystal that might power a phaser or might power a whatever, but it's just not going to last very long. But for you to use serious power to do something like a Farfetch has to grow naturally. So he could be growing a crystal farm somewhere in the glass canyons where the spiders are. Maybe the spiders are tasked with, you know, overseeing the farms of crystals here. Part of the reason why he can get angry and discovers the lightning dogs is that they accidentally destroy a field of crystals. Or they say, oh, before they even know what Glampire is, they go, look, all the natural growing crystals are here. Not like all these artificial shit. Well, let's just take these. They think they're just naturally growing somewhere and kill off a couple crystal spiders. Because they're like, eh, that's kind of weird. What the hell is that? Start getting back to the Farfetch, and Glampire's like, where are my crystals?
Like you motherfuckers.
Exactly. Like, they just ruined hundreds of years of planning in an instant, and now he's going to try and hunt
kill some spiders.
And kill some spiders. You
that
don't
Peter
kill those
Rabbit
spiders.
Moment when the farmer comes home and he's like, oh, you miserable little buddies.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to make this all about energy conserving this and, you know, like, oh, who's got the energy? Oh, they got the crystals.
But if those crystals are what Glampire wants,
right?
By taking those, that immediately puts you number one on Glampire's shit list.
Not only that, but they happen to destroy a link back to other natural growing crystals.
Exactly.
And he's just like, congratulations, I had a shit list, you guys got promoted, you were down at the bottom, you're at the top.
So the reason why I went on this whole big tangent is a way to tie in First of all, crystals, they were there before because just, hey, crystals, why not? So let's make them part of a story. That was my attempt at least to try and figure out a logical reason for having them.
Okay.
Why the dogs would know how to use them, how they're crystal-powered weapons, blah, 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 blah. But also how to tie Glampire into it. Why does Glampire care? Like, why does he, you know, what is it about them if it's, oh, lightning dogs are here. Well, screw them. They're good guys. Like, well, no. What did they do? You know, how could he try to use them?
Or, and we can merge what Cap was saying. It's not that he was exiled. It's not that he was. He had to retreat. Whatever fight he was fighting on his home planet, he was losing. So he wanted to regroup, find a place to become more powerful. His entire race lives for a long ass time. So was a couple centuries of suffering if he can come back and free them for the next 3 millennia.
Especially if he goes quiet for a couple
centuries, yeah.
Couple centuries, no one's going to think that he's going to come back.
Exactly. Spreads a rumor that he's dead. He comes with a small contingent of creatures.
Maybe it's because I came up with it, but I like the sympathy that you could garner for Glampire in a way of him being exiled.
I like that too.
I know. I'm not saying that we remove the sympathy. We can still play up the sympathetic
aspects. If he got here, even if he crashed his ship, that's like, oh, I got there. I could come back. Sure. Why not? Instead of like, oh, no, we're dumping you here. This place is shit by comparison to our technology, you know?
Here's a question about that, though. If you're evil, or no, if he's a good guy, then that's different. Because I was going to say, if you're an evil guy and they dump you, it's like, we're going to dump you on a planet where you have a vast amount of knowledge over these people. You could be their god. Goodbye. You know, it's like that. I don't think they would do that. But if he's a good guy and this is his punishment for trying to like overthrow bad guys or whatever, that would be a little bit different. Where if he's here for like a couple hundred years before technology really rises, which I really like that idea. But I'm trying to think of how that ties into Halloween Jack and everything else. Because really, the problem that started this whole tangent was Halloween Jack. Yes,
so these bad guys, whatever this minion level villains, have to be easily replaceable,
right?
Because as lightning dogs destroy them,
they gotta show up in every episode.
Like putties
have to show up in every episode.
So this is why I'm pushing back on the whole maybe like a not reincarnated, but just like basically skeletons put together. Like you. Put a pile of bones into a machine.
You know,
it comes out as some kind of weird Halloween creature.
That would be great because here's something. You take a pile of human bones, show them to an alien. Are they really going to put together a man? We got no idea whether or not they're dinosaurs.
If they're a spacefaring alien species and they have all the human bones, they could probably figure it out.
No,
we can't use dinosaur bones because we don't have all the dinosaur bones.
But even if who's to say who? Because we have these aliens who are using the bones of the masters, but it looks nothing like what we would consider what the lightning dog's history shows, because there's nothing that really separates one of our arm bones from one of our leg bones.
All right.
The hip could go on the head.
We want these wacky motherfuckers to look like some kind of Halloween abortions, right?
Yep.
Okay. I think the answer is that they are a whole race of mutants. Maybe some of their gene code stems from humans. Maybe. It doesn't matter. One of our characters we introduced in a prior episode was a big fucking turtle covered in junk. Like,
we're overthinking it maybe then.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Okay, so these things, they don't look like spiders. They don't look like mummies. They don't look like any other kind of Halloween garbage. They look like all of it smashed together. And each one looks a little different. They're all just a bunch of wacky garbage. And you know, the lightning dogs might find like a village of them sometimes. And they'll be like, oh, whoa. Like they're ready to fight. And they're like, this is a mom and her kid. They're just fucking disgusting. You know, like...
I like the idea that they are Halloween abortions.
Now, you know, see, it's a cool idea. The problem with making every single one of them unique, it'll be a pain in the ass for the animators.
Sure,
and
sure.
How are you going to make toys out of that?
No, I mean, you're not. But there could be like, Glampire, you know... It's just like they're all generic. Like you design 5 punk shapes and they got helmets on, right? You know, but like you get close to one, oh, it's furry and black with these big fucking spider eyes. Or this one's got like it's a cyclops with no jaw, you know?
Mm-hmm. Maybe there's like 5 different, like you were saying, 5 different like classes of these kind of like Halloween abortions that they all kind of stem from these 5 different designs.
I love that catching on.
It's Halloween Jack and his abortions.
It sounds a lot like we're describing the different classes of enemies in Left 4 Dead.
Well, I was once again, just going back to our source material. So they had those 5 guys who were the 3 or 4 guys that were the leaders, and they had their own minions. So Halloween Jack could have like his 3 or 4, like, I'm the vampire guy, or I'm the bat guy, or whatever. And so, and then they have their own clans behind them. And Halloween Jack has to like act as the peacemaker between these stupid clans.
Well, he runs a gang. Like, it's really disassociated. Basically, these people are Huns. Like,
right.
they're
No. And when I say peacemaker, I mean, he just has to make sure they're not fucking killing each other that day.
Hey, guys, break it up. Maybe don't bust each other's heads
up. The lightning dogs are out there, fellas. They're out there.
That's what I mean by the peacemaker. Right. Like, these four or five different clans fucking hate each other. And it's up to Halloween Jack that they don't kill each other before the lightning dogs.
They hate the lightning dogs more. And to tie into what you said about, you know, we're describing the different classes in Left 4 Dead, that kind of cultural shorthand isn't a bad thing.
Oh, I don't know. They all look like, if we're talking about, like, these Halloween creatures, right? Like, I think they all are so freakish, and in theory, like, if we were able to, you know, extend a budget to this show where everyone would look differently, like, they would be so freakish that there's no wars or regional. They're not about physical deformities or whatever, mm-hmm. because they're all scrambled, mutant nonsense.
No,
so,
and I am looking forward to, I mean, just the idea of a Cyclops without a jaw.
Until we nail that down, feel free to draw any of this stuff, and we'll see if something actually pops off the page.
We need to not call them ghouls, right? Like, we'll call them, we gotta come up with a snappy name for them.
That is not abortions.
That's not Halloween abortions, yeah.
I would love to see that on a toy box, though. I'm not gonna lie.
But please name your punk rock band Halloween Abortions.
Hello, Boston.
Hello, Boston.
It's going on the top
Halloween Abortions. Yeah, no, it's going up on there right now.
What, do you guys got some kind of list?
Mike Wall here has got a Tumblr of... Hello, is it just called Hello Boston?
It's hello-boston at Tumblr. It's just, anytime we're hanging out and someone comes up with a really good, like, band name...
It goes on the list,
and I just write, Hello Boston, we are, and then...
Halloween Abortions.
Link to it on this episode's page.
Which sounds better, singular or plural for the band?
I think plural. Yeah.
We are Halloween Abortions?
We are the Halloween
Hello
Abortions.
Boston, we are Halloween Abortion.
Or even the Halloween Abortions.
I think singular sounds better for a band.
Well...
I don't know.
But then you're calling yourselves the Halloween Abortions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lightning Dogs.
I like plural. Plural sounds really good.
So we can, it opens up the possibility of, like, remember, like, all the He-Man characters are like, I'm a guy with the long neck, or like, I'm a guy with the fucking claw hands, or like, you know, shit like that, right? Like, that just, like, we're just creating a whole society of that shit, or like, right. Like with the Ghostbusters action figures, I'm a football player, you bend me over, and there's a fucking monster in my back, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's circle around to that, because there's a couple of the ones that I think Cap and I had talked about that not everyone else talked
Mutant
about.
Mutant League Football.
Yeah. Do you remember the Queen?
Queen Bitch?
Queen Lich.
Oh, right, Queen Lich, yeah. Yeah, did we talk about this on an episode?
No, we didn't.
Oh, is that like the equivalent of like from Reboot?
I'm not familiar with Reboot.
I know the character, but it's been a very long time.
In Reboot, there's the two viruses. There's the one who's kind of like lawful evil.
Yeah,
there's chaotic
Megabyte
evil.
And Hexadecimal.
Megabyte is the kind of like lawful evil villain.
Pull up the flowchart I made.
And then Hexadecimal is this crazy chaotic evil villain that's just trying to destroy everything.
What happened was is that I was just making another stupid David Bowie joke, and Doug was like, "Oh, Queen Bitch." Well, we can't say that.
Queen Lich.
So let's say Queen Lich. And I was like, "Oh, that sounds really cool." Okay. So there's a flowchart I published in September of last year that Doug created. Maybe you guys caught on to it. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on there. We didn't. I've barely spoken with Doug about most of this, and we didn't talk about any of it
for a year. Yeah.
So we got things you might know from other episodes on there. We got Captain Scrap, the turtle we talked about. We got Nagel, Glampire's androgynous like
robot assistant.
We got Space Boy, the kind of Johnny Quest sort of space terror sort of character, which is another stupid David Bowie reference. There's some kind of like bizarre demon thing. It just has a bunch of question marks. There's a plant thing, which has a picture of man thing. Ninja cats from Japan, question mark.
I have to explain that. Yeah.
Samurai pizza cats.
Antarctica robots, question mark.
These were all things we talked about, by the way.
I know.
Bad masters from a forgotten human colony. And then Queen Lich. So, Doug, this flow chart.
Yeah. Let's see where to begin. Well, Queen Lich.
I really like Queen Lich.
Wait till you hear. Wait till you hear about her. The idea was that we were trying to think of just like other villains for this world, like other types of you know, evil characters and whatnot. And somehow we both hit upon this idea of the Queen Lich. I'm sure if we look back far enough, we could find the text messaging back and forth. I'm going to try to remember. Basically, the idea that we had, and feel free, we can change all this at any time. That she was a human back when things were going real bad. She was a scientist, like a brilliant scientist, and the world's going to shit, and she was brilliant in the like nanotechnology and trying to outdo whatever was going on.
It was life extension by virtue of cybernetics and
yes,
so on.
Yes, because a lich, because how would you define a lich? Like life extension by the death of...
Lich is an undead entity, yeah. Right?
Yeah. An undead sorcerer using...
Like they're fully cognizant. They're not a zombie.
Right. They basically like seal their soul somewhere.
Yeah. Right.
To magnify their own powers beyond death.
That's kind of what we were going for with that, except she does it with technology. Right. Or rather, she did with technology.
Cybernetics...
Like sealed her soul into a data disk.
And biological enhancements at this point. Basically, she's been swapping parts
she's
of her body.
She's not flesh. She is not human. She looks human, but there is not a piece of her that's human. She's not a robot. I'd say we could even take it so far as to say that she's just a cloud of nanoparticles that sit together and just become a human. If she's just a cloud of nanoparticles that look human, she may have the memory of what it was like to be a human, but she's just, her sympathy is gone for other humans, yeah. You know? And if she was a potential, I don't want to say love interest for Glampire, but definitely there's a thing there where Glampire is basically king of the world right now, and she could be his undead queen, totally. She's obviously got a lot of questions to do with, like, this is literally the guy who destroyed humanity or was somehow responsible. Or maybe he wasn't, depending on what backstory we go with.
And that's where the undead army is. Okay. For some reason, I had locked in my head, I need to have an undead army somewhere
right.
here.
Right. You could put something like that in there. I don't know, but we didn't take it as far as, like, if she has an army or anything like that, or whether she's just a super powerful being that has no allegiance whatsoever.
And I'm personally not sold on the nanomachines thing. I think I think it's a little bit more, like, I envision her as this, like, she's a little robot. She's a little, like, she's genetically engineered, like, parts of her. So she's like, oh, lightning dogs. These anthropomorphic dogs might be onto something. I'll get myself a dog head. Or, you know, like, she'll just, she's like, she's maybe constantly, she's, every time you see her.
She's the Borg. She's the start
more,
of the Borg.
Maybe she's more like Brainiac.
Every time
or she's already uploaded her own conscious. Like, her own conscious is on a computer.
Yeah.
And when you see a robotic whatever, it's not really her. That's
could
just,
be, could be.
It's a vessel, basically.
Or you could say that.
Kid's robot sidekick. That we've established
Nades, but we're getting to that. That could
okay.
be that.
Okay, I actually found the conversation.
Oh, go for so, it.
By
go
some
for it.
Strange miracle.
Yeah.
Okay. With Queen Lich, I was thinking like every time you see her, because she'd be like a special, like not consistent character. She'd be every now and then. She'd be completely different. It'd be like how Baxter Stockman in the Ninja Turtles cartoon from 2003. Like eventually, like he started getting like parts of his body removed, and every time you saw him, he was a little less human. So here's Doug and I's conversation on via text message. For lightning dogs, Queen Bitch, a super obvious Bowie reference, some kind of canid that Glampire's mind controlled, or who is simply evil and takes on an absurd title as part of his court.
Lol, would that work for a kid's cartoon?
I don't know. That's the one thing. That's the odd question of what exactly is lightning dogs?
Could always soften it to Queen Witch if needed. Glampire plus Queen Witch has a nice ring to it, maybe in more ways than one. Lol.
Winky
and
face.
I get booed.
This is a private text message.
not anymore.
And yeah. I said, LOL, that'll work. And then genius struck.
Or Queen Lich.
Ooh, good one.
Of course, the technology wasn't perfect, so now she's a lich instead. And instead of magic or her being a wizard, she used to be a human scientist who became immortal because of some advanced form of technology. And then you say,
dude.
And then I say,
and then I said, LOL. What if one of her, quote, powers is that she keeps, quote, upgrading herself and frying her genetic code in weird ways? Oh, that was it. That was more of a biological thing.
Yeah. I said, she can't be too robotic, but I think there's something there.
No, not robotic. Genetic. Surgery and chemicals.
Yeah, the bad guy from Hellboy, the guy who like cut himself that had the surgical addiction. So imagine she has a surgical chemical addiction.
Mm-hmm.
She has this addiction to keep
right.
perfecting herself to the point where like she has this constantly changing goalpost
right.
of so, what well, is perfection. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right. So then I say to Cap, yeah, I know what you mean. Just that her goal should be to somehow regain some of her humanity, not just be a better dead thing.
Ah, so she's actually dead, not just lich-like. Gotcha.
Would have to hear some of the other gags before I sign off on it or not. Is that pretty much
actually,
it?
Yeah.
So, I mean, because it's like, imagine that she is constantly altering herself, genetically altering herself, surgically altering herself, chemically altering herself, to the point that she realizes she no longer has a soul. She no longer feels empathy. She no longer is human.
She barely remembers what it was like to be human in the first
right.
place.
Right, and so at that point, she's trying to find that humanity.
And when and
she
what
can't, she can't.
It's impossible.
Right. Yeah. She doesn't find it in the vampire. She doesn't find it
and
in the
just, it's
mutants.
Ironic because...
And then she finds it in the lightning dogs.
Man's
you could say,
best friend.
You could say the thing is that if she doesn't like Glampire, but the irony is that he's the only one who either could A, understand her, B, help her, or C, even remember what the fuck a human was like.
I mean, you know? I imagine, like, maybe she had this, she was on this path, she found Glampire, then decided, I want to be like that. Took
could
some
be.
Wrong turns, and then now she kind of, like, mentally blames him for losing
yeah,
track.
I had this image of her being the pseudo love interest, where maybe it's not, maybe they're not love interest, maybe they are, but just the idea of that she has no problem hanging out in Glampire's castle every now
right.
and then.
Yeah,
just to chat.
They're just really flirty and weird.
Yeah, it's
right,
weird.
Like, she still blames him, but that, I mean, who else is she going to talk to?
Exactly. Like, maybe, you know what? If Glampire is a guy who's been on Earth for a couple hundred years before things went to shit, and it became revealed that he's an immortal being, maybe she was a scientist who was trying to study him, sort of like a Harley Quinzel situation. And she kind of wanted to, I don't want to die. I want to live
with
you.
That's why I'm saying, like,
you know, and he's just like, what do you want from me? I can't, you know, he's not really a vampire. He can't bite her. You know,
so part, like, she did take, maybe he gave her some DNA samples and that's what took her down the wrong path.
Maybe. But that we're going into, like, world building here, right. like serious world building that may not be perfect for
but
right
now. But I love
now.
The idea of someone who's like, she's part human, part machine, part whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then constantly improving upon herself, quote unquote, improving yeah. upon herself.
But she doesn't have it. No pun intended. She doesn't have a dog in this fight. It's like, so she doesn't really, you know.
But the only reason she pursues the lightning dogs is because she sees those traits like empathy.
Right, right.
That she doesn't
They're
see
clearly
in the
good
mutants.
Guys.
Right,
yeah.
And that's what she longs for. And so she might
and
like
she'll cut it out of them.
Right, yeah. Exactly. she'll experiment on yeah. them.
Now, on the graph here, I also got Nagel, the sort of the robot. I was trying to think of what his purpose is instead of just being like, I'm a waiter and I'm here to serve you, Glampire.
Well, he's the sort of guy, he whispers in, you know, Glampire's ear. He's like his vizier in some ways.
Right. Like, if his purpose was to sort of keep him updated on everything, but I'm like, but why a robot? Like, why in a robot that looks like a human and whatever?
Because it could have been a gift from Queen Lich.
Maybe. But I thought, like, what's his purpose there? And then we talked about the robots in Antarctica sort of possible scenario as being like another huge army of stuff that's
a threat down the road.
A threat down the line. This is all down the line.
Right.
But what if a weakness that Glampire has, because he clearly freaks and genetic things, he is a living creature of some kind. What if with all of his powers, robots can get the drop on him? Oh. He can't sense robots. Like, he can sense if someone walks in the room, sort of vampire-ish. He can sense human bodies and everything else. But if an assassin robot were to climb up onto the ceiling like a spider and then drop down, he wouldn't know until he saw it.
Or if
heard
there was
it.
An army of robots at
right.
the doorstep,
yeah,
he wouldn't
know
unless someone reported.
Unless you had a robot on your side, and that's Nagel. And Nagel's the one
Excuse
who's able to...
Excuse me,
you
sir.
Know, yes.
There's someone at the door.
Well, now, Nagel's on Glampire's side, so he would tell him, oh, you know, there's something approaching, or... Master,
no,
watch out!
Just,
you know, and
just,
shoot at the ceiling or whatever. And I thought it would be a really cool idea that the robots in Antarctica are against Glampire. They would never work for him. They kind of have their own agenda, but every once in a while, maybe once a month, they send an assassin robot to go kill Glampire, but it always fails.
Just to keep him on his toes.
Yeah, well, not even... No, they really do want to kill him.
Because
yeah.
he's sitting on the biggest power source.
There you go. And they're stuck in the Antarctic...
Because
and slowly,
they're synthetic beings with very little resources.
The only resource you could have in the Antarctic besides snow might be sunlight, because the days last 6 months out of the year, but you also got 6 months of darkness.
Right.
So
at that point,
they go into low power mode. They go into low power mode to conserve until the next year comes around. That was my idea of tying in Antarctic robots with you know, whatever. And the idea of the Antarctic robots is that the robots don't have to look like people. They can look like Transformers however they want. Like,
right.
It's a machine. They can do whatever they want. They send them out to do whatever of any size.
Tony's just designed some new creatures here.
These are hot off the presses, ladies and gentlemen.
And they're going still hot.
You'll
feel the heat.
Obviously, there'll be a link to this in the concept art gallery on this episode's page.
I like the sort of monster concept. Instead of Halloween abortion, sounded too
What I took from that is that we're just kind of combining different Halloween creatures. And one thing that I kind of stumbled on, that
punk rock road warrior Halloween monsters. That's really
One thing that I really like the idea of is, I mean, the first, their primary mission in coming back to Earth was to, you know, find out what they could about the Masters, but also find out what was going on. So that one down there in the bottom left hand corner has
like
these
spider or something
bat
like that.
Spider, or but from a distance, what would that look like? That looks like some tall ears. Perhaps
or
a lightning
a punk
dog.
Rocker. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Perhaps a lightning dog. Or mm-hmm. another one of the dogs. Bit of like, hey, you know, we're here to find and turn around and all of a sudden just yeah.
There's something to that. I think there's something to that. The question is like, where do they come from though? Were they people that have mutated, or are they like, what, you know, are they animals that mutated?
They're
consciousness.
They're just a little bit everything. They're a genetic slurry.
That's why I'm kind of wanting to we'll go over the rest of the.
They
of
crawled
the
out from the
stuff.
Nuclear muck,
right? Because this is such a weird. I'm liking it. It's just such a weird thing that we can't really. How do you pin it down, sort of thing?
Well, like the lightning dogs, they're creatures that, you know, they evolved sentience, and they were. The humanity cast a long shadow,
mm-hmm.
and you can't help but be in the rubble of something like that.
Just fill it in,
and not adapt to it, or like find it fascinating.
Yeah,
and
some of them could be like Queen Lich leftovers.
Sure,
why not?
It's a hodgepodge of everything.
Maybe she's
everything.
Responsible for creating them, and it's like,
or,
I don't
or
want
it
them
might
anymore.
Be just like one tribe, or
whatever.
Yeah,
no, I mean,
like,
the way I see it. Cap said it best. Genetic slurry.
Now here
it is
or you know what I like better? If we're going with that kind of design for really unique kind of things or whatever, I almost. But the lightning dogs wouldn't just let them do this over and over again, like let them get away with it. I was gonna say, what if it's just like 10, like a gang of 10 people? We don't have to name every single one of them. If it's like a gang of 10 or 20 people, Holly and Jack is the, again, going back to sort of the Mad Max Road Warrior sort of gang.
If they're wearing leather jackets and helmets and have, you know, just random claw hands here and there, we don't got to worry about giving them
it's
any kind
point,
of uniqueness.
Yeah.
They're just dudes. I mean, like, look at any of the minions from, like, Road Warrior, right? Like, they're just clusterfucks. They could be human under there. They could be anything, you know?
But animating it is the thing. But we're putting the cart before the horse when I'm thinking of that. So.
We can also, I mean, we can have a couple of them that stand out if there's a design we really like. I mean, Bebop and Rocksteady. Whatever.
True, true.
What else we got? We got Ninja Cats from Japan.
Yeah, so that already kind of gives it away. But I was going to say, what if...
There's no subtlety to
that. Yeah, yeah. So what if... Because this was a note really... I was surprised you put it on the Facebook where people could see, because I'm like, oh, I was going to keep that a secret, but whatever. The idea was I was thinking of different kinds of villains they would fight and things like that, like what would be really cool. And I thought, well, what if season 3, you know, like we're down the line, we were well familiar with Glampire, well familiar with robots, well familiar with all the stuff and Scrap, Halloween Jack, the whole shebang. Then what if one day they're just hanging out in, you know, headquarters and they're building, like, you know, Narissa's fixing the thing or whatever. And then they hear something like up in the rafters and they're like, what the hell? And they look up. And out of the darkness, straight up ninjas, just ninjas, full cat black, like straight from the past.
In a cat
ninjas suit. Show up in here and they just start cutting shit up and they start fighting. And the lightning dog's like, what the fuck? They don't know how to handle with this stuff. And they just start fighting and this crazy fight breaks out. And then finally, like after these ninjas, they realize they're losing, you know, the smoke bombs and the whole thing. And you, the audience, are going, are these human ninjas? What the fuck's going on? Suddenly, because Pierre is really fast, he knocks off one of the masks. It's a fucking cat under there.
And of course, at this point, this will have been a long time, and the whole dogs and cats, like, timeless quarrel will not have been addressed, not even once.
Right. And suddenly, an unconscious bloodlust forms. It's like, because they don't know what a cat is.
No, and then
know,
all of a sudden, just a long, drawn-out, awesome chase scene.
Yeah, and the idea being, what if, meanwhile, because we have the different countries and who's doing what where, like, what if just over in Japan... The cats got loose there the way the dogs got loose on that planet.
So isolated.
Yeah, it's so isolated.
So cat-centric.
Yeah, and it's so cat-focused, cat-centric. What if the cats just kept growing up there? But the difference is they know exactly what the Masters were like. They have so much knowledge on top of what the lightning dogs had on what the Masters were really like and what was going on. They just live like the Masters. The culture is alive and well over there. And
but they're cats. They're pissy little bitches. They're not going to tell the lightning dogs anything.
Right. It's like they're also very proud. You know, they're like, because we're going into cat mode here.
They are,
you know.
Well, and they are the feudal Japanese.
Yeah, it is feudal Japan, but with cats.
I absolutely adore.
You know what? I like it. The second that hits, Tumblr is just going to
lose their shit.
Yeah.
Done.
So it's but when I mean feudal Japan, you got ninjas, but you got samurai.
Yes, samurai.
And if the lightning dogs ever go to Japan. you got samurai honor-bound cats who would fight alongside good guys like this, and you got the ninja cats who are like sneaky bitches, you know, who are, you know.
Now, I just have to ask, these samurai cats, do they enjoy discs with cheese and tomato sauce?
It may happen that there would be a pizza with perhaps anchovies on it during a sequence. How could we ignore the opportunity to present a samurai pizza cat? And, I mean, they've gotten farther than any turtle ever had.
Booed, I just gotta say, my jokes get booed. This is exactly something I would draw. All right, I'm all right with it. We're okay.
So definitely is ninja cats getting some samurai. But when I say samurai,
now I'm already
cats,
imagining like in like season 4, season 5, like a Ronin cat.
I want Ken Watanabe to voice a cat. That's all I'm saying. I just want Ken Watanabe to voice our cat.
He for some reason he lost his honor, and to seek it out, to regain it, he has to team up with the lightning dogs.
And that would be Ken Watanabe. Mm-hmm.
Now, I can imagine Glampire manipulating the cats into thinking that they need to take on the lightning dogs. Because it's late in the game. Glampire's like,
well,
fuck.
Ninjas are paid assassins.
Yeah. Exactly. So he gets these people to fly all the way over or float all the way over
As soon as Glampire finds out that there's like a bunch of cats living in Japan, he'll be like, ah, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah. It's like, I'll just sit this one out. Because think of it,
that's
a logical plan. Like once you've fought the lightning dogs for so long, and you're like, dude, I just no matter what I do, I'm surrounded by fools. What if I make them pick a fight with someone else, and I just step back, let them fight? It's like let them destroy each other, and there you go.
That's, just send over a bunch of saucers and milk, and let wait for the blood to fall.
Exactly, and that's season 3 or season 4. That's the
Cat Pan. I wanted to not like it.
Yeah,
I did, and there's no way I can't. I love it.
Thank you.
You call it Nippon.
That's almost as bad as Tony.
You know what, though? I'm going to allow it. Handshake, sir. Handshake. Right. Here we go.
Bad Masters from a Forgotten Human Colony. That sounds really, really ominous.
Yes. Bad Masters from a Forgotten Human Colony. What that means is these are bad humans who lived on a forgotten human colony. It's been thousands of years for them. But think of it this way. These are the picture I chose is from 2001 A Space Odyssey, because I just like the design of the spacesuits. Mm-hmm. For whatever. I just thought, what if humans during the war, or whether it's a Glampire invasion or a nuclear war or whatever,
they were off planet.
Yeah, they've been off planet. They're on another planet for maybe 1,000 years. The timeline isn't nailed down precisely, but let's just whatever. It's a long.
But there's
ass
also
time.
Like, imagine like the, since they're the people placing the far-fetched, maybe there's faster than light technology, so they're experiencing time shorter.
Also on a different planet, who knows? If you're on a different planet that moves slower, like it's all relative.
If humanity is sending people out into the stars through dimensional portals, be it a tesseract or truly another dimension, we don't really know what the far-fetch is. Either way, it's not the only project out there, and there's going to be somebody else coming back.
And
I'm also going to say, ultimately, we are developing what is essentially a cartoon show comic series that we can throw something out there and then figure out why later.
Exactly.
Yeah. But the idea of the Bad Masters is like, let's say season 4 or season 5, you know, things are normal or whatever. Then one day, masters show up, like straight up humans in spacesuits. But of course, the lightning dogs don't know this because they're just like space suited figures, and they're like, that kind of looks like Space Boy. Maybe Space Boy was a master from long ago who got exposed to some cosmic evil and is no longer human. He's just a walking spacesuit with, you know, energy or whatever. But if you see more humans wearing those same exact spacesuits and you're a lightning dog, you're like, oh shit, you know, what is this? There's a whole bunch of them. And then they take off the helmets and it's people under there, and they're breathing the air of the earth for the first time in who knows how long. And
tastes like butts.
Yeah. But now the twist on this is that they're bad. They're evil. They've been living on another planet for thousands of years.
Australia.
Yeah. wherever they were was a terrible place that they had to fight tooth and nail every day for hundreds of years just to survive.
And
they come back to Earth and they're fucking pissed.
They come here and all of a sudden these creatures,
we were gone.
Call
and
them,
you wrecked my shit.
Yeah. They call them masters. Like, I can deal with that.
Yeah, yeah. And just like their Earth is destroyed. There's freaks everywhere. Maybe the only thing that they had was to hang on to the hope that if we just get back to Earth, it'll be wonderful. It'll be a Garden of Eden, and we can start again, and Earth is destroyed.
And, it's like coming back to your house and your dog's gotten out of his crate and just everything's on the floor and he's looking at you like,
yeah.
I like that it like the idea of it takes a few episodes for the lightning dogs to realize They're bad.
Yeah. Like,
because they call them masters.
Like, oh my gosh, this is why we originally came here. You're masters.
And they're like, yeah, we're masters. Yeah, we're okay humans. With that. That means you're my slave, right?
That's
that what that means.
Maybe not even right away, but that ultimately, that's ultimately where it goes.
Essentially, that's what the thought process is.
And it's just like, these are bad masters. Bad masters. Very bad masters.
Of course, Kane Corso's like,
Yeah.
He'll be losing his shit.
So there's something... That's not a thing that has to happen. I think that's an interesting idea to explore.
Yeah.
I think that is a season 5 idea, and based on the reaction that everybody just had, yes, that does have to happen.
Very down the line.
We'll just figure out how and when, because
That's a very late...
You know, that might even be one of the final arcs.
Yeah, exactly.
The return of the Masters.
Yeah.
So there's one last thing on this diagram that's unexplained, and it's very unexplained. It's some kind of like Cthulhu thing with question marks.
If you can see, I don't know if you can see in the picture, there is a fine dotted line that leads down from that to Space Boy.
Yeah. Is that like some kind of
like Lovecraftian space
creature from outer space?
A cosmic evil. Because we were talking about Space Boy and we described him very well, but we have no idea what his origin is or what the point is. What if he was a master, like one of the bad masters who was just, you know, whatever, came back maybe a long time ago. Maybe they were sending him back, but they actually sent him someplace way worse.
It's an Event Horizon kind of situation.
Yeah, and he's no longer human. It's just, I'm just thinking it's an empty spacesuit with a Lovecraft energy monster inside.
Like he is inside of that spacesuit is all of the terror of the vastness of space, all of the coldness, the emptiness, being forgotten and alone, and all of the dark matter that exists between every particle seething into a whole galaxy of stars compressed within the scope of the spacesuit. He is knowing and unknowing simultaneously.
I love the idea that you once said where it's like if you're in the base of Lightning Dogs and all the lights go out and you just see this spacesuit figure walking down the halls in the pitch dark, and inside the visor of the helmet, if you stare long enough, it's not empty black, it's just space, and you can see a galaxy inside. And just looking into his helmet, all it does is remind you of how alone you are, how futile everything is,
how insignificant
small you
are.
Yeah, how insignificant.
The rest of the galaxy.
Basically, it's like absorbing every Lovecraft thing ever in the span of a few seconds, and you're like, oh, I can't deal with it, and you're done. So I loved that image that we painted in an earlier episode, but I'm like, well, what? How does that work? And maybe we never even totally go into it. Maybe it's something that even Glampire is like, he just walks around. I don't even know what the hell to do with that thing. I can't control. You know, like it's
or it is an evil that his race is aware of, and their way
they
to
just
deal
step,
with
sidestep
it is
it. Yeah,
exactly.
Leave.
Like,
yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
See that thing rocking down one side of the road? I walk
this,
to the other.
This would be the one thing that Glampire would be afraid of, is the idea. Because so far, out of all the things we've created, he's not afraid of anything. He's not even really worried about anything. But if there's some sort of cosmic evil out there that I don't want to rip off Lovecraft directly, but just there are things out there. Again, the idea, cracking open this universe, that there is a universe of possibilities out there. This is, although the whole thing takes place on Earth, it's kind of a space travel fantasy series.
Because, I mean, for them, this is for our Lightning Dogs, this is traveling to an alien planet.
Exactly.
It's familiar to us, but it's not to them. And then, and I guess we'll close on this, one of the things that we haven't even touched on is the oceans.
Yes.
We haven't even touched on the oceans, and this is an
Captain
idea.
Captain Scrap is the only thing, really, ocean...
Well,
even
I mean,
close.
No, but I mean, certainly you guys are familiar with how much the geology of the planet Earth has shifted. I mean, we say the cats are from Japan. We don't even know what that means anymore. Japan definitely does not look the same. It could be a bit more of a continent like Indonesia, you know, or you know,
whatever. And this was even something that, as we were describing Space Boy, is something that I kind of thought of, and feel free to shoot it down. But I mean, what are our spacesuits based off of? Deep sea exploration. So what if Space Boy, what if this unspeakable horror didn't come from space, but that's what we attribute it to, because he's wearing a similar suit. He was actually exploring deep sea.
I get it.
After we explain more of Space Boy, the idea stopped making sense, but I still like the idea that there's something that has been going on underwater.
It just maybe applying Space Boy to like a scuba suit thing is kind of cool, but all it did was make me think of the Scooby-Doo diver, like
right. I think we can have water stuff that is completely independent to Space Boy.
Yeah, right. we got Cap and Scrap after all.
I mean, the idea for me was that we ascribe the idea in
of the
name of
thing.
Space Boy, or we ascribe the name Space Boy to something that didn't actually come from space, kind of tying into the idea that there's so much left here that we still don't know that is equally terrifying.
Right. I do like the idea of like giant monsters in the ocean. They don't have to necessarily be from space or be some sort of.
And we'll have a giant dog mech that comes along and fights
you. Yeah, more like Waterworld, with like that giant thing that almost eats Kevin Costner, but he ends up killing it somehow. You only see it for like a split second. Like, I want to know what's been happening under the ocean, because if you got crystals growing in the ocean, holy shit! You know, yeah. Like, you know, I don't want to say that. Let me put it this way. I don't want to suddenly reveal that there is an Atlantis people, a fish people, and they're intelligent and they have a society. Feudal Japan, that's one thing. Atlantis under the ocean with fish people.
It's been done.
It's been done.
I like the idea that it's like basically a primordial soup bag down there. Yes.
No.
And so like giant monsters, krakens, all kinds of things.
Yes, yes.
So that
what about the oceans? We don't go into the oceans.
Yeah, we don't go into the ocean. If anything, it's more Pacific Rim down there. It's just like there's kaiju in the ocean. I'm okay with that.
And like, there are like people like Captain Scrap. Like they're
he's like, why do you think I left the ocean? It's
like, no, they're the emissaries.
It's terrible down there.
It's like, fuck the ocean.
Well, but there can be like some clans that like they live off the ocean, but it's a fucking battle.
Yeah, like, Captain Scrap will go out onto the ocean every now and then, but the
fact that he comes back is a fucking miracle.
Yeah, he's a badass. It's like oh, Captain Scrap, he's kind of like a low level, you know, tier villain or whatever. Really, he just doesn't give a shit. He sort of does it for money. Lightning Dogs, if they ever go out onto the ocean, they soon see how much of a badass Captain Scrap really is in order to deal with this on a daily basis.
Here's something weirdly personal. I don't have a fear of the ocean. I've grown up around the ocean my whole life. Ocean and me, we get along just fine. If anything, maybe I'm a little too fearless of the ocean, right? But most of the time that the ocean is present in my dreams, it's a stormy black abyss. Read into this however you will, but I think it's just more visually interesting that way. In the ocean, say you're hanging out by a dock in the sea, and there'll be like anemones and like all kinds of like different fluorescent clusters of crap on there. It looks like so much crazy, completely unearthly garbage, like clinging to all this, you know, like the poles and the water and everything. If you were to submerge yourself, say, along the side of an industrial port, you'd see so much like strange stuff there, huge fish, giant grouper and everything. It's dark down there. The sunlight can't quite reach. There's just so much going on. Even the very ocean itself, like just to take a gulp of that water, is filled with so many small things. It is very much like a primordial soup.
Yeah.
There's so much going on. So just imagine the waters of Earth are like at this point in time are an embodiment of every kind of unknown that could be attributed to it. It's always. If you, going out on that water is always a risk, like being near it is kind of dangerous because it could cough up like a giant fucking sea cucumber that melts your skin off.
Right.
Like,
I agree.
The sea is and should be absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. Because it's just the idea for you to say, oh, I'll get weirdly personal and say I'm okay with the ocean. I have the exact opposite.
No, I'm saying that I'm okay with the ocean, but. In my dreams, it's like it is something to truly be feared. It is
in my reality, it's something to truly be feared.
No, I mean, just
for no other reason. If listeners, feel free, go into Google, type in scary ocean creatures and do an image search.
Be done.
Look up the goblin shark. Look up the what's
that
little
that.
Yeah, what's the little crab guy that moves his little pinchers real fast that it boils the water around?
You mean the one that can hit so hard that it's shattered glass? The one the rainbow mantis?
Yes, rainbow mantis.
It's the rainbow mantis shrimp.
Yes,
it can. And you know what's funny? It actually can see so much more of the spectrum than we can.
Yes,
so that might be something fun to tie into Narissa. And she starts losing
I'll
her
end,
mind.
I'll end
later.
This with two words: bloop noise.
Done that.
Well, and I mean, I'll, you know what?
It's too much to be explained. I think we talked about it in a previous episode. I'll link to bloop noise on this episode's page.
And I'm going to just something that is so innocuous that is equally terrifying about the ocean. Water is the only thing that has the same consistency, say, as you're swimming through it. So but the weight that's above you continues pressing down on you. And you don't think about water as having that kind of weight because it's the same consistency to swim through.
You haven't picked up pails of water, my friend. It's got weight.
No, but when you're swimming in it, because you swim in like a foot of water, you swim in 5 feet of water, it's the same amount of water that you're swimming through. But there's so much more on top of you that all of a sudden ain't your friend anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fuck the water.
Basically, the shore for the Lightning Dogs universe is the day after a hurricane every single day.
Did anyone here ever see the movie On the Road? At the end, the whole movie, they're trying to get to like the coast, and this isn't like the final shot, but they do get to the coast at one point. And you're thinking, if they just get to the coast, maybe everything will be okay because it's gray, ashen, barren all throughout the streets and everything like that. They get to the coast, just like everything else, it's terrible. And it's just like it's exactly pretty much how I picture the ocean in Lightning Dogs, where it's just You're like, man, is anything even alive out there? You know, you have no idea.
It's like the answer is no, everything is alive out there.
That would be, a fun kind of visual image is, yeah, it looks like a hurricane, but the reason it looks like a hurricane is it's all these barricades that people tried to erect to keep what was ever in the ocean that failed.
Yeah, it's just kaijus fighting under the ocean. Why are these waves so big? It's like it's like kaijus nonstop fighting on the in the Marianas Trench.
Oh, my God. Oh, the mental image just of this like giant wave. These two waves crashing together, and you see deep, deep silhouette.
A quick glimpse of the top of something's head, and then the waves just close back up. You're like, oh, okay, we're ain't going down there no more.
It's like, who wants to live like in the middle of the inlet?
Yeah. I'm down. Who wants to go work for Glampire now? Because he'll protect us from whatever the hell that stuff was.
Hey, guys, I could go for a potato. Idaho? Anybody?
Kansas, yeah.
Landlocked.
Wow, that was, gentlemen, that was a lot of lightning dogs.
Yeah, that was a marathon.
Wasn't nearly enough.
No, there's still so much more we can do.
I want more.
There will be more. We got maybe like one, two more of these in us, and then I think we can probably start writing the Lightning Dog show Bible and like really, like, I mean, we've already started like writing stuff, but like really, like, complete it.
I mean, even just with what we've been doing, I've been...
Well, now that we got most of the powers and stuff nailed down, the main core cast sounds pretty good, pending what Brian has to say, which, I mean, I'm assuming he'd be fine with it.
Yeah, if anything, he'll just have suggestions on how to make it better.
Yeah, no, totally. After that, we need to tighten up some of the villains, figure out the villain stuff, and the basic world building.
The base, the vehicles.
History as well. Yeah.
History, vehicles, and
I feel like the toy stuff, like the vehicles and base stuff, I think that'll be very obvious and come easy after we do history and world building.
I mean
baseline stuff, crystal powered,
yeah,
looks like a hot rod, giant fucking tires in the back, pretty much all we need.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, histories, finishing up some of the villains, some villain designs, because we've got some Glampire
and we've got some of the minions that... And Glampire's a tough nut to crack to really hit that.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously the bulge, but on top of that,
Brian did give us an edict for Glampire, and
what do you have to say?
That is, every single time you see him, every feasible scene change, he's wearing a different outfit.
I love that idea. Yeah. I remember you told me about that. I'm like, that is awesome.
It's challenging. It's unrealistic within the scope of a 1980s cartoon show. But it's a necessity. He is Glampire after all.
Yeah. That's definitely in the character.
No.
If whether or not it'll be pulled off on TV, that's a different story. Like, but that is certainly...
I've worn
in
this
character.
Outfit for an hour. It is officially old hat. Time for something new.
Like, why do you think that he took one of the humans' old, like, robo servants and, like, has that guy constantly working for him?
to bring him away.
Where are these outfits coming from?
Yeah. And I know that it was said and kind of, you know, that he's there to actually protect him, but I really like the idea that when this assassin comes up, he's someone at the door for you, sir.
Yeah, of course, you know, if all he has to do is tell Glampire that there's a robot
That after his hand is detached and there's an AK-47 underneath it. You know, yep. Someone's at the door for you, sir.
Just that kind of deadpan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What I started doing was a little short comic just with Dingo exploring the wasteland, because we've got enough established of that character that I can have him just fart around.
Right.
I feel like I can do that with some of the others as well, at least a little bit, just a little like 2 or 3 page thing, just to give to you guys, the fans, to see these characters in action, because I really want to see these. We've done so much with these characters, what they can do. I want to see them do it. Oh, man, I love lightning dogs.
We got to think of a I love being a turtle line for lightning dogs.
Well,
like
I mean,
I love being able to lick my own balls.
Don't speak for himself.
I mean, you know, lightning dogs never turn tail.
That's pretty good. Never turn
tail. That's more a declaration, though, as opposed to just this
run as jubilant.
Yeah. I think it's just we're
rough
Aru.
And we're tough.
that's General Wetwork. It's like, the roughest and the toughest.
that's what Admiral Pepper.
Yeah. Oh, one thing we did not address for poor Mike here, and for any of the dear listeners who are listening for the first time, Wolfman.
Oh, yeah, the Wolfman AI.
Oh, God.
Yeah. The idea here is that after the lightning dogs come to Earth for the first time, before they meet any bad guys, you know, before they're just like, oh my gosh, this place is barren. There's no masters, you know, where this is terrible. They're able to pick up on a radio wave, something that sounds like Wolfman Jack. Who's just like, I'm listening to the beats of this time, and we're, you know, listen to like something, and here's some rock and roll to cure your soul. And they're like, that what? And so it's like
that is cultural appropriation.
Yeah. And they like they're listening to this radio and trying to find the source, and it's like, if you want to make a request, call in our live hotline. Do that, and somehow they're able to hack in and be like, who is this? They're like, you're talking to the Wolfman, and they're like, Wolfman.
Somebody's calling. What?
They're like, Wolfman? Like Wolf and man and Maybe this is something to do with the Masters? Where are you? And it's just like, oh, I'm located at the whatever booth. And they're like, we got to get to him. So they fly out on their hot rods or whatever.
American Graffiti style.
Yeah, whatever. Mm. They get there and it's like a little small building somewhere and they kick open the door and then leads down a staircase. And like, where does this go? And they flick on the lights and it's just a massive underground server room. And they're like, Wolfman, are you in here? He's in his little blinking red light. Yeah, I'm here. What's up? And they're like, what? Where are you? Are you in this box? He goes, what are you talking about? I am the box. And so Wolfman, basically, it was back when humans were still around, was just an artificially intelligent radio disc jockey based off of, obviously, Wolfman Jack. Because in the future, why do you need somebody to sit in a booth and request music and play it when 24 hours a day, you can just tune in. It's the same awesome personality all day long.
Right. They take all the classic radio personalities.
Mix them into one thing. Okay. Yeah.
Or no, just like different stations.
For each station.
This just happens to be the Wolfman Jack station.
Yeah. And it just missed the bombing. You know, it's the only one that's still around. And it's just like, yeah, it's been really boring out here with Wolfman. And nobody's been calling in for a long, long time.
You're the first caller in. Well, I stopped calculating.
Yeah. But he's the only...
Nine years.
It's a...
Tell you what, this is going to take a while.
It's a lot of nines, I'll just say that right now. And so he's the only link that they have to what the Masters were like, what culture was like. So, of course, Kid is talking to Wolfman all the time. She's just like, so what was this like? Can you tell us about they find a calendar and it's like, wow, what happened back in the year 2159 on April the 7th on this time? Is like,
oh, I played this song.
The traffic was backed up pretty bad that day. Well, they had storm clouds coming in through the, you know, to the east. And
a caller broke up with her boyfriend, so she wanted me to play a fuck you song.
Yeah, and but later on, the day after that, we had someone calling in for a marriage proposal. It was really sweet. It's like, you know, it's like, that's not really what I wanted to know. Well, fans like, well, that's all I got for you.
That's kind of neat because actually, I this is the first time I've heard this origin for Wolfman, because in the past, we talked about him being a composite of like scientists, artificial intelligence.
That was one idea. Yeah.
This is interesting because this is an early adventure the Lightning Dogs get to have, and then like out of sympathy for this AI, Kid can like, you know, harvest him from his server room, bring him back to the base, and all of a sudden you have an AI that's not set up to tell the Lightning Dogs everything because it's been in the base all the time. It's discovering the base too. They can install on the main computer because it's like a personality. They're like, well. You know, like that, and this Wolfman persona can grow with them instead of already being like birthed to the show fully grown.
Wolfman, Glampire's on his way. We got to get back to base. Alert the team. All right. Now, do you want some chase music while you get your way back there?
That's great. It's like, I'll play a groover. It's a groover tune for you to drive home to. It's like,
because it's a golden ring on
the way to the danger zone. The idea was that it was very rock and roll infused, was the inspiration for everything Lightning Dogs. But the idea I was going to have is for like a drama moment, because you think Wolfman's kind of a funny guy. There's really no drama with that. He's not a human. He doesn't have any emotions, but he definitely roots for the Lightning Dogs. And if he's like in the base, he'd be like, attention Lightning Dogs, we got incoming Glampire, and they're like, oh, and they go run to their stations. Kane Corso can hear, you know, radio frequencies and whatnot. If somehow they're out, they're somewhere, and Kane Corso's in the lab doing something, and he's just like, Wolfman's just like, Dr. Corso, we got a question for you about this, whatever, and he's just bullshitting with him for a little bit, and he's just like, Wolfman, just leave me alone. He's like, all right, fine, I'm sorry, sorry I bothered you. Several episodes later, it's there'll just be a really tense moment. He's getting radio receiver from like Glampire or whatever, and he's, you know,
hey, Dr. Corso,
and it's just like, hey Doc, we be getting these strange radio signals. You know anything about that? And he's just like, I wouldn't know any. I don't know what you're talking about. He's like, well, you can hear me right now, can't you? And it's like, Wolfman, you're it's like. I don't know what you mean, Wolfman. It's like, well, no, and I would this love ain't on the loudspeaker. Like, it's just you and me, Doc.
I'd love to almost flip that a little bit afterwards, saying,
not listening to any other radio stations, are you?
You ain't listening to any other radio stations. You don't need no smooth jazz.
You're keeping it locked here. Wolfman Jack,
you're keeping
it
locked in, the Wolfman. It's like this. That's just that moment of where
at the same time, maybe he's saying that to keep Kane off his scent. That he knows what's going on
at first,
and then at the same time he's like flashing a message on his screen for Kid to see, since Kid was the one who rescued him,
right? Or, you know, any of this stuff. And then of course, just like, you know, the idea that Wolfman can know that Dr. King Corso is up to no good and just traps him, So it's like the idea, everything that bounces back to King Corso is a mind game of just like manipulation.
Dog and mouse, if you will.
Dog and mouse. Yeah. Cat and dog. Yeah.
So, guys, if you dug any of this stuff, if there's stuff that you didn't like, if there's stuff that you really like, let us know. We always want to hear what you think about the Lightning Dogs.
Having come into this not knowing anything about Lightning Dogs beforehand, I can honestly say that I'm sold on this idea. And I would like to see this come 100% to fruition.
Well, I'm glad, Mike. We that's the goal, man. We want to. That's awesome. Yeah. Another Lightning Dogs convert.
Mission success.
Yeah. So if you guys are sold on Lightning Dogs, if you got any questions or comments, if you like some of the stuff that we got this time, if you don't like some of the stuff, as always, we want to know what you think. Hit us up on the forums. If you go to lightningdogs.com, there's a link there directly to the Lightning Dogs portion of the forums. And if you got any fan art from any of this new stuff, we want to see it. Shoot it our way, info@nerdyshow.com. There's a link to it on the fan art page as well.
If I like it, I'll steal it. You heard it here first.
I'm maybe not sure about the legalities of that, but we'll yeah.
It'll be changed slightly. Whatever you put in his right hand, I'll put in his left. We'll be fine.
Lastly, we got this wonderful care package from Anduin a while ago. We've already heard us eat the Kit Kats from Japan that he sent so graciously.
So goddamn good.
But in this package also, which we're still not done tapping the various wonderful treasures from the Orient from, he said, attach this letter is a device that will hopefully spark a chain reaction that is the Lightning Dogs. This is forged and beaten by mechanical beasts, fired in kilns filled with brimstone, charged with the essence of lightning, and bombarded 17 times with lasers. Lasers make everything better. And in the package was a spark plug. Thank you, Anduin. This has finally sparked and rekindled the flame of Lightning Dogs.
It truly has.
And we will treasure it always. And maybe if ever the opportunity presents itself, we can put it in a car. Honestly, I have no idea how these things work.
You don't want to put that in a car, man. You got to mount that on the wall.
Ooh.
Put that in like a glass case.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the reasons Kid gets the powers that she does is she's wearing a spark plug around her neck.
No, well, now we know who to thank for that idea.
That's a pretty cool necklace, actually. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And it fits in with the 90s idea of, hey, I'm just going to put something on a string and wear it as a necklace. It's cool, man.
All right. There you go. Anduin, that one's on you. And something that bears repeating is that we are on SoundCloud now. That means that basically all of our shows are up there. Many of our old shows are up there. The older shows you can't get a hold of are still archived on nerdyshow.com. But our new stuff is on SoundCloud and YouTube. SoundCloud is where we do all of our primary podcast hosting now. That's where you can comment on our videos in a kind of fun, interactive way and share it way more easily. Basically, now, if there was ever a friend of yours who you were trying to get to listen to Nerdy Show, or if you want to share the majesty of Lightning Dogs with them...
The majesty!
Now, it's easier than ever to get your friend hooked on Lightning Dogs.
Wow, such majesty.
Such majestic.
Such majestic.
Well, you could just share it on Facebook, listen. And they can play it right in the feed.
Yeah.
See all the comments pop up.
That still counts as a play.
It sounds like common sense, but it did not used to be that way.
It's actually really cool. I like it.
Nerdy Show is listener supported. The entire network is listener supported. We got to make $300 a month, bare minimum, in order to keep everything running and going and producing all this high quality entertainment content for you.
And if you want more Lightning Dog stuff, I'm just saying, you know, we need that extra time to, I mean, look at how much work we're doing, guys.
You got to go to the main site. You got to click our support button. And if you're supporting because of Lightning Dogs, tell us so. If you send us any amount of money, we'll send you all kinds of cool stuff, hours and hours worth of outtakes and also other bonus content in your email.
Speaking of support, hey guys, this is Cap recording remotely to give you the latest up-to-date information on the support drive and what is going on. Last week, we put out a call that we were coming up short for the month, and you guys responded in force. Truly, you are a pack that we are honored to run with. We got a lot of shout-outs to give to some awesome people. First up, there's Barry I, who said, monthly Nerdy Show donation, keep being awesome. Barry I is a dude who likes to keep it regular and actually donates to us every month of his own accord. Barry I, you are awesome. Kevin Weiss says, Dungeons and Doritos and Lightning Dogs in 1 month? I really should be giving 10 times this amount. Even still, man, we're super grateful. And we'll do everything we can to keep hitting them out the park like this. Jeffrey Voss said, Howl Noise for the pack. Love all the shows. I don't want to lose Nerdy Show. Hope you get funded. Smiley face. And get funded we did, all thanks to you and your collective contributions. Hoodoo Voodoo said, thanks are due equally to Lightning Dogs and War Machine. Another shout out to the 1-2 punch that was having D&D and Lightning Dogs in the same month. Heavy Devil said, for Tony and Trench,
who put up with my questions in every live stream. Tony and Trench have been doing a lot of live streaming lately. If you want to check that out, there's a thread on the forums. Just follow it, and you'll get notified every time those dudes are about to go online streaming something. Most recently, they've been doing the HD remake of Last of Us. Silver Words said, "So I just dropped $5 on you all. Wish I could do more. But hey, you said every dollar helps. And she is 100% right. Every dollar does help. Don't be bashful. If you can only contribute a single dollar because you want those perks and you want to give to Nerdy Show but you can't afford more, that is okay. We will not judge you. We're still extremely grateful." She goes on to say, "Much thanks to the folks at Nerdy Show, Wicked Anime, the Pot Pie Podcast," which is the secret title of Epic Piecast, "State of the Empire, Dungeons and Doritos, Bits, Rhymes, and Life, and Pokeballs for all the hours of entertainment you provided. Everyone on the network is great, but wanted to give an extra thank you to Cap. Your stellar professionalism across the board does a lot to set the Nerdy Show Network apart from any other podcast out there." Silver Words, thank you very, very much. That's really kind, and I'm just happy that the network means so much to so many people. And I'm really appreciative to you guys for listening. Caitlin Kruger said, "Thanks for keeping my summer nerdy." Joshua Westphal said, "I've always meant to make a donation to Nerdy Show, and I can't let you fall short after that awesome Lightning Dogs episode." Brent Richard said, "Just listen to Dungeons and Doritos. Love the current crew. Sorry, Barty. I'm on Team Dean." And some additional love for the Dean Machine and the War Machine. John Bayer said, "I love Dungeons and Doritos. I heard donating can get me access to outtakes and other fun stuff, so I'm happy to support you guys. War Machine!" John, you heard right. If you're a D&D fan, we've got tons of outtakes. We've got an entire episode that's out of continuity. We have in-continuity deleted scenes. And, man, Jamela singing some Bjork. I mean, if you're a D&D fan, there's a whole secret world of extras if you support the show. I also want to give some shout-outs to some people who've commented on the Lightning Dogs forum discussion after last week's episode. And there's been a really great conversation happening over there. So if you got any questions, head to the forums, ask away, and read what's happened so far. Armadon said, "Oh man, that felt so good. So good, in fact, I'm going to impregnate my wife just to have a kid that I can watch Lightning Dogs with just so I have a logical social reason for watching it." To which I say, "You don't have a reason to watch Lightning Dogs?" And then also, I certainly hope that the impregnation is consensual. Temsu said, "New Lightning Dogs? Less than a week till more new Lightning Dogs? Is terrorific a word? I'd like to make that a word." Temsu, terrorific is a goddamn word now, and we'll try to use it next time. And finally, Abizin said, "Hey guys, remember in a recent episode when the gang discussed the new Godzilla movie and they talked about getting monster fighting blue balls during the airport scene? I think they may have been getting their revenge with this episode. Just as it was picking up, they tell me to come back next week. I hope that the Lightning Dogs blue balls was well satisfied, and maybe even some giant monster blue balls too. As always, let us know what you guys think about all the crazy ideas we're throwing around in this one." The support goal for this month is outtakes from our episode Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Adventures, where we talked with Steve Murphy, aka Dean Clarane, the most prolific Ninja Turtle author of all time. Last month, you guys came super, super close to hitting the stretch goal of $600 and unlocking 15 minutes of State of the Empire outtakes from four separate episodes. So close, but this month, the tally is reset, and we'll see if you guys can do us a solid and make it to there, because every amount helps, and every time we go over our minimum support goal, that means more opportunities for us to grow the network and do more cool stuff. Speaking of cool stuff, we've been publishing a lot of articles lately, and coming the very same day as this episode's release, August 3rd, we got two Guardians of the Galaxy-related articles, including a review of the film by Adam from Ghostbusters, and my response to the very, very end of the film. If you haven't seen Guardians yet, both these articles are super-duper spoilerific, so you should get yourself to a theater, check the film out, and then come back and read those. Also, if you're a Sailor Moon fan, Jessica's continuing her episode-by-episode review of the new Sailor Moon series, Sailor Moon Crystal. But now I'm going to cut back to the guys in the studio because they got some more cool stuff to tell you. If you intend to buy anything on Amazon in the future, and I'm pretty sure you do, You can buy it through Nerdy Show's links, and we'll get a portion of that. Just go to our Amazon link on the main page, choose the United States, UK, or Canadian Amazon, whichever you prefer, and a portion of what you're already going to buy will go back to Nerdy Show.
Yeah.
We love you, love us, long time.
Yeah. Buy something really big, send us an email, let us know about it, we'll give you a shout out. We really truly appreciate it. It's the only way that we can keep on doing what we're doing. Thank you so much for your support. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for loving the Lightning Dog so much. It's one of our favorite things. So glad to be back.
Feels good, man. Feels good.
New Lightning Dogs coming sooner than later. Never again will we wait so long because it's been painful for us.
We don't turn tail.
We never
we
turn,
don't
tail.
Turn tail. Run as a pack.
Yeah.
Lightning Dog.
Lightning.
Aroo.
Thanks so much for listening. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Hex.
Bye, I'm Tony.
Bye, I'm Mike.
Bye, I'm Doug.
Taking us out, we got an excerpt from another track off the Protomen cover-up EP. This is their cover of an early 80s Iron Maiden jam called The Trooper. Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. We mean that. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating to the network. Any size contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Nerdy Show, as well as other fine programs, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store, and for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks.